Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Your holy name. Lord, thank you for ministering to our hearts today. We're here to praise your holy name.
Yes.
We're here to lift you up.
Thank you, Jesus.
To bless you for loving us and you continue to bless us. You continue to just pour out your joy and your peace. The comfort of knowing you're in charge, you're in control. The intimacy of a friend that wants to just be with us. It's beyond our comprehension, and yet here you are once again reillustrating and reiterating and confirming one more time. Thank you for your love, Lord. We are so honored to be here together. We're so blessed to be in your house of worship, a place that's been designated specifically and specially for you. And while it is a place for us to gather and a place for us to be re-energized and encouraged and find healing and blessing, Lord, we want it to always be a place that we can rejoice and bless you. Thank you for loving us. I pray that you have received our prayers and our praise.
Yes, Jesus.
And we ask this and we reiterate it all in Jesus' holy name, and together we say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So be it. You are welcome to sit down if you'd like as we continue with the service. Thank you for worshiping the Lord with us today. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful worship team and crew we have. Those that are upstairs and making sure the sound is right and screens are changed for your benefit and also for the team that does the singing and the instrumentals. What a blessing to be able to have such talent and commitment. Commitment. It takes a lot of commitment. And I just want to just thank the team. Thank you so much for all that you do. You guys are outstanding. You're awesome. For our Sunday school teachers, thank you so much for your commitment in that, to minister and to teach our children, our young people. It is something that sometimes gets overlooked, and I never want to do that. We have a great superintendent, Elise Kirschman, who has done it for many years, and you don't get that position such long term unless you're really good at it. Amen. And we know how great she is in what she does. Hallelujah. I was saying a few things about my sacred cows. How many know what a sacred cow is in that terminology? It's kind of a churchy term, so you probably, if you haven't heard it before, that's not unusual. Did you know that there's a specific country that will remain unnamed that it's actual blasphemy to kill a cow? All the hamburger lovers say, aw. All the steak ribeyes, aw. But yeah, because you might be killing Uncle Frank or something, you know. You don't want to eat Jake or whatever. You know, we'll use, anyway,
It's a sacred cow. You can't kill the cow. So the cows roam free. They're absolutely untouchable. Well, we have sacred cows in our own communities, things that we don't want to touch, things that we want to leave alone. Don't you dare touch this cow. And yet I have some of those that God may ask of me and say, it's time to set up to the table, boy. It's time to let this thing go. And I'm thankful that we have one of those sacred cows that seems to be continuing on and doing pretty well, and that's our Sunday school program. I hope to never see it go by the wayside, but you never know how God can change the model, right? We'll see how he wants to do those things, but we're thankful that we have discipleship for young people. We're thankful that we have kids and youth ministries and women's ministries. We have adult ministries. We have seniors ministries. I got to actually participate in the Wise Guys this last week, and it was great. It's wonderful to be there. We have so many different things we're trying to do, but we could do more. I didn't hear any amens. So I say that to encourage you. If you're not involved with something, please get involved. Find a way. If it's something that's new and you're like, I got this vision for something new, that's great. God may be leading you to head that up and to do something cool and awesome that's never been done before. And that's good. That's wonderful. So anyway, those are just a few things to just follow up on before I get into the actual announcements. You may notice that there's no outline of my message. And I forgot to ask Tina, is she working in the nursery? I forget. There she is. I see her, I think, walking. Do we have the app with my message? I forgot to ask you that. We do. Awesome. So if you have the app, you can follow my message by going to our app and click on the sermon, and you can follow that along. I wasn't able to get it done in time for the bulletin, but we did get it for that. Awesome. Wonderful. She is awesome, by the way. Did you notice that? Tina's awesome. Praise God. So, announcements. Annual business meeting today. Woohoo! Yay! Did you know that there is an actual thing where people regret or hate or can't stand the thought of going to an annual business meeting? It's happened before where they dread it, like, oh no, it's an annual business meeting. What's going to happen there? It's going to be chaos. Did you have something to add to the chaos?
Just ignore
me. Okay, I'll ignore you. I'm so thankful that's not our situation. Aren't you excited? I'm looking forward to our meeting today that we can talk about what God is doing and what he's done and what he's going to do in the future. How many like the open space that you walked into? It's like, woo, wow, boom, blow my mind. Like, what happened to the walls? We're in transition with a renovation that is going to open that up. As you can see, it's open. That will have the office/visitor center in one end, and most of that space will be wide open. And there's twofold purpose for that. One is for the fellowship that you can have without standing in the hallway in the way of people that want to go through. Hallelujah! Because you know who you are. This is you. There was a lady that came through when I was sitting at the services this week. Wonderful little gal. I don't think she even had to do this. You know, Pastor Jennifer would understand. Where she had to duck as she's walking by like this in front of me. I'm thinking, just stand up tall, girl. You're not blocking a thing. But she felt really, really, what's the word? No, not claustrophobic. In the way word. What's the in the way thing? I know, you guys are no help. Intrusive. There's the word I was looking for. It started with an I. I'm sorry. I should have told you that. So intrusive, and here's the cool thing. You can hang out and fellowship off to the side here, and you can hang out in there off to the side, and you're not going to feel like you're in the way. You know who you are. And some of you are like, I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, hey, who cares? But some of us, some of you feel intimidated to have that fellowship talk, and you're feeling like you're in the way. You don't have to do that. That's one cool factor. Another really, really big factor that's even better yet is we're going to have doors on this side, my left, your right, where the window for the nursery is. Those double doors will connect us to a ramp, which will allow for handicap accessibility without having to go up a chair lift on the stairway. And the bathroom that's on my right, your left, in the back is going to be renovated into a handicap bathroom. And I want all to be welcome in our assembly, in our church. And this is something that's been on the docket for a very, very long time, not really understanding how can we do this. And we just took the bull by the horns and we just started twisting that head a little bit. And here we go. We're going. And it's exciting to see a renovation that's going to benefit the people of our family, but to me it's even more especially important of our community that we're trying to reach. We want everyone to feel welcome here, and that's a really huge step. And thank you for your donations. You see that we have that building fund at that dollar amount. And so we are in transition to get that completed in different stages. But I just wanted to announce that. But annual business meeting today, you're all welcome to participate in that meeting. All members would be highly encouraged and stressed to be here because you have voting privileges, and we will have an election for a board member, and we'll also have discussion of vision and ministry plans. And so please be here as a member for sure. If you are interested in being members, please stay for the meeting as well. Now, if you have not signed up for the food side of it, we did order food based on numbers of people that have said, I'm going to stay for the meal. And so that number is pretty well set, and I don't know how much flexibility that there is on that. I think there's going to be plenty of chicken. But whatever the case, if you've already planned on being here, make sure you stay because we ordered food. Hallelujah. Everybody likes food. And we are asking for a donation to help defray that cost. Imagine that you are doing a potluck and you don't have to supply it. Cool. What would you have done to put that together? Maybe that's a suggested donation just to help defray costs, whatever that might be. So anyway, that will help cover the cost. And then we're COVID-friendly and all that good stuff that restrictions require. Wise guys, whoa, this is from last week. We're done with that. Kids church parent pickup. For those of you who have children in kids church, after we dismiss, we're going to not allow them to roam free from the end of our service and the end of the downstairs service. They will be requiring someone to acknowledge, yes, I'm in charge of this kid. I will take them. Usually that's the parent. It might be grandpa. Who knows? But whatever the case, we are going to let the people get the kids rather than just dismiss them, let them run free. So if you are wondering, where's my kid? Go get them. Hallelujah. We're just trying to help you out. We want to be safe for families and protect them from any weird, unusual possibilities, but also it just makes sense. So there you go. Anything else I need to mention? Winter retreat is coming up. Be in prayer for that for our young people, for the youth group, board meeting. We'll have a new board member by then. After the election today, we're going to do a staff board dinner, which is something for the outgoing board member or members, depending on the year, and also the one that's coming in, and just say thank you for your service and just have a meal and fellowship together for that. And discipleship classes will begin. It's getting pushed further down the road because of other plans and activities, but we are going to have Sunday evening Bible studies. I want to call it discipleship. Somebody come up with that idea, and I loved it because we're going to just go deep in the Bible for your benefit and for your growth. And so I pray that you can be a part of that discipleship class as well. So there you go. And I think there's...
Oh,
yes, there is.
Uh-oh. Okay, leader of this upper kingdom, I need your help. Oh.
You need my help?
Oh, yeah.
Hang on.
I'm getting there.
You look really rough, dude.
Well, there's a story to this. You know, we had to go.
You might have to come up here.
We had
so
to
the
go
online...
to another place called Butte, right?
Come on up.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
I think the people online are wondering what your problem is, too.
My ribs hurt. My leg hurts.
You look
my
rough.
My thigh hurts.
You don't even have shoes on.
My brain hurts.
Well, that's not completely on your
head. Yeah, that's not completely.
Okay. You look kind of black and blue.
I went to this conference, right,
mm-hmm.
to learn how to take over another kingdom, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, you guys don't know this, but I'm going to take
highness.
Your... Yeah.
I just heard about your blunder.
Yeah, it's not a blunder. It was a strategic move.
As your most trusted friend and advisor, why didn't you confide in me?
You know, when you go to war with a super tiny kingdom like the size of a postage stamp, you should win.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
But apparently...
Apparently the damage is done.
Apparently the one person on the postage stamp is Andre the Giant, so it kind of hurt.
I got good news for you.
What?
As your most trusted friend and advisor...
Are you going to start telling me about the sacred book again?
Yes. I mean, look, man, you need help physically and spiritually. And maybe in the weight department, but we'll work on the other
side. Yeah, that hurt too much.
I mean, physically fit, you might be able to, you know, fend off a giant.
I eat my fruits. I eat my veggies. Cake.
But help me. Well, okay. Let's worry about you physically and spiritually. So come with me. We'll take you and we'll sit down with this book and try to figure this out.
All right, let's go.
This
will take me a while. Everybody just hang tight.
We'll send a wagon.
Don't go anywhere too
quickly.
We'll send
a wagon.
Later.
All right.
We'll go.
Maybe if the kids go with
you,
they help you on the way. All right,
come on.
Kids are dismissed to go with your leader.
Yes, this wise leader. Hey, pew, I like you. That's his name. His name's Cannon, but I call him pew. Come on, let's go.
Wow. Okay, I got a little note here that I'm going to try to follow. Pray for meal before you dismiss. How many can help me with that one? I think I'm okay with that. The hard one is going to be make sure you say when you are on your last point. I don't even know when I'm on my last point, so I don't know. Because someone needs to get the food ready to roll because we're all going to be hungry to roll, right? Awesome. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. The title of the message, if you don't have the app, is Blinded by the Dark. Yeah, I know. I thought it was a pretty cool title when I came up with it, so I'm going with it. Blinded by the Dark. John chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 11. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that we are able to be together today, to look into your word and to be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. But Lord, we're also here to be challenged. And so I just pray for your anointing to be upon me, that you will continue to challenge me in my spirit, in my growth, in my journey with you, but also, Lord, that we all can be challenged. Help me to say the words that you have prepared for me, and help me to speak clearly for all the benefit of each and every one that's listening in, for all who are present today as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Blinded by the dark, what in the world? We are on a journey. What I'm sharing today is an extension or continuation of what I've already began with you in a series based upon a book that has been very inspiring and encouraging to my heart. And I believe that it's timely. There's a lot of things going on here where it's like integrated scriptures through the week have overlapped with events I've been a part of in studying and preparations for Sunday school, for this message, and for the things I learned this last week. And so God is doing a work here, and we've been talking about in the first week of this lesson, we are on a journey, and we need to realize it is about the relationship we build with the Lord along the way. Some of you are like me. You're task-oriented. You want to get to the end result. You want to finish the project, and you don't appreciate the journey getting there along the way. Some of you enjoy the journey, and you're just, hey, can we pull over? Can we stop? And we'll check this out. And some of you are like me, you're like, no, we're pressing on. We're moving forward. And I want to encourage you all to recognize that, yes, our goal is to one day be with the Lord in eternity. Some would say looking forward to heaven. I say looking forward to seeing God's face, to see the one of whom Jesus is the way to, the Father. I look forward to that day. However, there is something happening right now, here on this earth, and I need to learn to appreciate it. Appreciate what God is doing in my life right now, today. So, remember to enjoy the journey as you build your relationship with Him now. You don't have to wait to know God later. Hallelujah. We talked about God's dream for you. And His dream, in the very simple, concise way of reiterating it, is simple this. It's simply this. His dream for you is Himself. The deep, pondering question that we've all asked at one point in our life, or if we're young children, maybe teens, we're starting to ask that question, what's God's will for my life? Well, it's really simple, Himself. Start there. Believe it or not, He will take care of the details. He really will. But if you can't get that first thing figured out, you are going to be miserable. I don't care what your occupation, I don't care what relationships you have, I don't care where you think you're going. If you can't start with Him, it's going to be a battle. So begin there. We talked about Eden. We lost Eden to the darkness. We call it sin. What was Eden? Eden is delight. Eden is pleasure. That was what Adam and Eve both had in the Garden of Eden. They had delight, they had pleasure, and then sin entered, and they lost it. They were kicked out. An armed warrior angel stood there at the gate to make sure they never come back. Aren't you glad that we can regain Eden once again? Yes, we may have lost Eden because of sin, but we can be restored. How do you restore it? You come into the light. Darkness is chased away by the light. However, even now, it's easy to be blinded by darkness. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Blinded by the dark. What does this mean? Well, we can talk about those that don't know God, they don't understand Him, and that's a good place to start because that's who we are. Without Him. That's where we have been. That's where we came from. The perception is the first point. The perception of what? The perception of God. The perception of Messiah. The perception of who He is. There was a misunderstanding of the one that John spoke of that was to come, that he wasn't even worthy to untie his sandals, that he was not worthy to even participate in the baptism of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is amazing. He's Messiah. He is beyond comprehension. That's who we know He is today, but that's not how He was perceived when He walked the earth. John saw it. He understood it, but it seems as if no one else did. It would appear that nobody else had the comprehension of the Messiah. And then we talked about it in Sunday school class that the religious leaders, even after seeing the miracle that proved He had the right to forgive sin, still ended up calling for His death on a cross. Blasphemy. They didn't expect who they saw to be the one. And that's the way it still continues in this world today. Blasphemy. The perception of Jesus, the perception of God, has been twisted. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing what? The light. Isn't that cool? It's like, whoa, wow, what a twist of coolness with these verses coming together. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What does this tell you? What does it tell me? It tells me that without having been born again, without having received His Spirit, without having known the truth, I am blind as a bat. I cannot comprehend God. I cannot see Him. Is it all my fault? Is it all my doing? No, not really. There's a lot of things that are involved with why I can't see. One of those which is a demonic stronghold over my world. If I don't have the Lord of God, the Lord God of creation, the Spirit of God within, if I don't have that intimacy, that relationship that Jesus spoke of to Nicodemus, the born-again experience, if I don't have that, I am blind. And it's partly due to the enemy of my soul. He has blinded the unbeliever. And so what does this mean? Well, this kind of sets me back just a little bit, because how many of you, and I will talk about that as myself as well, get annoyed and impatient with the world because they just don't seem to get it? I mean, you're just frustrated to no end. How can they be so dumb? How can they be so blind? Hold on now. Hold on. Back up a little bit. You are not blind. You have eyes that can see. So quit beating up the one that doesn't have the eyes to see. And recognize that without Him, that's you. Amen? Come on. And so let's be a little bit more patient when we get those frustrations building and we're like, why? And I mean, the facts. I mean, I'm a fat person. Did I say fat? No, I didn't say fat. Fact. You know, that sounds terrible. Fact. Boy, when I say it out loud, it just doesn't sound right. Okay, so I need to lose a few. Whatever the case. I like facts, right? That's really hard to say now that I'm very much aware of it. What is wrong with my brain? Oh, I'm funny. I like details. I like to know why. I've always wanted to know why. Why does this happen? Why does that work? How does that work? And I know the facts of this world, the truth of the gospel, the historical documentations. I know all of these details that are just phenomenal. And then I share that with the world and they say, I don't believe it. I don't accept it. That's not my truth. That's your truth. Your truth and my truth are not the same truth. And I'm like, whoa, there's only one absolute. And I get all, right? Let's take a breath. Let's back up a few paces. What was that word that we were given today? Mercy. They were unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Don't be frustrated when they don't see it. Pray for them. Pray, God, open their eyes. Pray, God, break down the walls. Pray, Lord, help me to be more patient. That's a terrible, difficult prayer to say, but it's true. You really should be more patient and recognize that blind people can't see what you do. How blind are they? Well, they were so blind that His own people did not recognize Him. These are the intelligent, go to school, get the degree, master's level knowledge, and they couldn't see Him for who He was. They are the presidents of the universities kind of people. They are the ones leading the largest churches. They're the ones that are doing the biggest things. They even have a TV show that shows the amazing knowledge and skill level of their understanding of faith and religion, and they didn't see it. They couldn't comprehend it. Blasphemy! Blasphemy! Only God can forgive sins. How dare He say such words? And of course, they were so angry that they called for His execution. His own did not receive Him. Religious knowledge does not equal knowing the person of Christ. We like the version of Jesus that gives us a path to wealth. Yeah, kinda. You know, you can't outgive God. I love that. I encourage people, just test God and see. Because that is actually a promise in the Scriptures to tithe and the blessings will flow. We like that. But what about the believer that went bankrupt? Or how about this? How about take your faith and live in a third world country and see how that goes for you? Yeah. We like the version of Jesus that gives us wealth. I'm not real big on the wealth movement of the church. I've always been skeptical of it. But I kind of like my comforts. You know, comfortable. I don't want to be twisted too tight. You know, that hurts, Lord. Quit. Stop. I like my comfort. Don't ask me to do that. I was absolute 100% no. I'm not going to preach. Never. No. And it was only after I finally submitted to that call in my life that I found peace. True, genuine, not just peace for salvation. I had that, but peace to live. You know, I can die for Christ, but don't you dare ask me to live for Him, right? Well, I think we got it mixed up. I think we're kind of twisted here. So we like the version of Jesus that's about wealth and comfort and favor and success and blessing. But we don't really like the other side of that. We don't like the sacrifice, the living sacrifice, you know, or all the things that make us uncomfortable. But here's the thing. God's dream for us, remember, is not about blessings. His dream is not about making us comfortable. Nope. His dream is Him. Abide in me. Abide in me. I have to ask myself this question, and you have to ask it of yourself. How much access do I give to Jesus in my life? How much does He really have involvement in everything I do, everything I say, everything I plan? And how much is selfish, pride, arrogance, sin? Is my perception right? That's the question. Is my perception of who Jesus is really accurate? Or would He show up today and I would turn Him away? You're not the Messiah. That's blasphemy. That's how the religious leaders received Christ when He came. Well, guess what? That's me today. I'm a religious leader. And I have to ask myself the question, is my perception wrong? I'm thankful we talked a little bit about this in class in Sunday school, and Janice shared, but we have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! I'm so glad. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling, and He can guide us, and He can tell us, and He can convict us, and He can teach us. Yes. But He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. And often He won't go where He's not asked. And so I have to ask myself the question, am I willing to listen to the Holy Spirit? Or greater yet, will I ask the right questions of the Holy Spirit? Because maybe I don't want the answer. I talked about sacred cows, and I talked about, oh no, please Lord, don't let this be the beginning of the possibilities of change. Because I kind of like things when they're settled and good and going forward and we don't have to change. Anybody else kind of like it when things don't change? Most of us. And yet, there's a part of me that like, ooh, adventure, yay, let's try something new. And I'm torn, but I need to ask God, what do you want to do? Where are you going? Perception. Here's the next point, lenses. How many of you have lenses on? You got a bunch of people with the need of eyewear. Some of you might like sunglasses, so when you walk outside, they get dark for you. I don't like that. I never did like sunglasses, unless I wanted to look like Tom Cruise for a little while back in the 80s, and I put those, you know, what are those called, those really cool glasses? Aviators! Oh, man, I was really cool. Someone told me I had his nose, so I had to try it out. It's a true story. It was my cousin. Blame her. Sheila, thanks a lot. You messed it up. No, but we have lenses. We look through lenses. And for me, I need those. If I want to read anymore, I need my lenses, because otherwise it's like my arms used to be long enough. They're getting too short. And I'm pretty sure the same length they've always been. Here's the truth. Our view of God is filtered through the lenses of our personal history and our geography. What is your personal history? That means a lot, by the way. That's upbringing, that's parents, that's grandparents, that's location of where you were. If you're over in New Hampshire or if you're over in California, that's different. Am I right? Different cultures are different. How about South America? Different, right? How about Canada? Anybody from Canada? Different. Everywhere you go, it's different. You can go East River, which I speak of, North and South Dakota, and then West River. I lived on both sides of the river, and let me tell you, it's different. Shockingly different. Now, we're West River right now. It's kind of cool. It's like we're the old pull yourself up by your bootstraps people. We're like, you know, if you offend me, you're going to be my enemy for life people. I mean, not in the church, of course. Never. Never, never, never. Only for the unsaved blind people, right? Well, we have to battle that. That's our culture. East River thinks different than West River. I know that's true because I've lived both sides. I was raised East River, and it took me a little while to figure this place out. It's like, not this particular place, but one we lived in is like, whoa, what are people doing? I didn't quite understand it. And I still don't completely understand it because I'm kind of an East River guy living in a West River world. But let me tell you something. The way you grew up believing in God affects the way you believe today. You can't avoid it. Now, for me, I recognize that I am not the norm. I grew up in a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, born-again, preaching, can't-stop-talking-about-God family. I still remember as a teenager asking my mom specifically, but also my dad, can we at least just one time go out to eat without you talking about God? Just once. Is it even possible? Well, right? Of course that's not possible. He's the love of my life. And of course I'm not going to stop talking about God. And I'm like, so thankful. Come on. Because that impressed me. Even when I didn't like it, it impressed me to think about him in a different way than it would have been had it been this secret thing, undercover Christian family. Ooh, you know, we believe in God, but we don't tell people. You know, that's our private personal business. Don't you dare tell anybody you're born again, because you're going to be, if you're coming from that family, guess what? You're going to have a different view of God. Come on. Every specific thing that you've gone through in life gives you lenses, and those lenses affect the way you see him. Your personal history, your geography, the culture of which you were raised, the race of which you are. I'm a multi-pot thing, melting pot. I'm Irish, Dutch. What am I? I'm German, Scandinavian, a little bit of English thrown in there just because, you know. And then I think about my own kids and the mix that they are. We have different cultures that we all represent. Politics, let's talk politics. I remember back in sixth grade, my job was to go home, ask my dad, are we Republicans or Democrats? Ooh, they don't do that anymore. That's fighting words now. That's excommunication from the whole nation now, right? And so, no, that's a little exaggerated. I go home and I ask my dad, Dad, what are we, Republican or Democrat? And here's the amazing answer my dad gave. Well, son, That depends on who's running. Well, what do you mean? Well, I've voted for a Democrat, I voted for a Republican. They're basically the same thing. And so I look at who's going to help the farmer the most. I'm just wondering, have you noticed that's not the way it is anymore? It used to be very, very... North Dakota is a pretty conservative place. And I know there's different liberal agendas, there's different conservative agendas. But I grew up with that kind of political position. Now, if I ask my parents that same question, there's a very more definitive answer. Because politics have changed. It affects the way you see life. It's something that we have to be aware of. How about this? Religion. What religion were you raised? When I say religion, I mean religion. I don't mean Christianity religion. I mean all religions, because I have seen people come from different faiths completely and are now serving God with their whole hearts, and it affects their view of God. How about if you were abandoned, or if you were abused, or you were poor, or you were bullied? That affects the way you see life as an adult. It's a scientific fact. How about if you were wealthy, if you took vacations, and you were loved by your parents and your grandparents, and you had a stable environment? That affects how you see God as well. The lenses we have in our lives affect the way we see Him. Some for a negative reason, some for a more positive reason, but nevertheless, it affects the way we see Him. Don't assume that everybody sees God through your lens. That's good words. Don't assume. John 1, verse 11. The lenses that we have can cause us to miss who He is. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. That's pretty amazing. The religious people of today may be just as blind as they were then. So the question I have to ask myself, the question I ask you, because God is doing a work. He's doing something new. He's doing something special in your life, in our church, in this community, in the communities that surround us. There is something that He wants to do for the kingdom, and we need to see Him through it. We need to walk with Him through the journey. But we have to be careful that we don't get so religious that we don't see what He's trying to accomplish. So the question is, would you receive or reject Him? If He were to stand before you in flesh as Himself today. If He asked you to give up the sacred cow that you're holding on to very dearly, how would you respond? Blasphemer! Crucify Him! Terrible, terrible man. He's leading us astray. Well, maybe we need to look through the proper lens. The people of that time, and the religious leaders specifically, had become so intertwined with the politics of the state in which they lived that they rejected the Messiah when He came. That is a bottom line fact. What happened there? Well, Rome was allowing the Jews to have their temple and to have their worship and to have their synagogues to teach the children the way they wanted to, and along with that, regular basic school instruction. They also got to learn about the Bible, about the scriptures, as they would call them, because they didn't have it in Bible form yet. But they had this pact, this understanding, this covenant with Rome. But if an insurrectionist were to rise up and cause some kind of a dissension that would rise against Rome and then call for their removal from the state, that was dangerous talk because that could take our religious rights away. That could take away our church. That could take away our freedoms to worship. And so there was this resistance of Jesus because he was causing a riot. He was causing the people to rise up in a way, oh, no, 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 don't take him. Don't believe him. If too many people follow this man, we're going to lose our privileges and our rights. It'll be like the Maccabean Wars all over again. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be disastrous. We need to kill him to save the people. For the nation, we must execute one man. And that was testified and stated by the high priest. Not realizing that he was actually accomplishing the will of God so that all people would be saved, he thought he was just saving Israel by taking out the one man. His perception was wrong, and yet he still accomplished the will of God. And I actually believe he got saved later on. There's evidence to prove that could be the case. Nevertheless, I have to ask you this question. Have we been so intertwined with the politics of our own country that we can't see Jesus either? I mean, is it possible that we've been so twisted with the integration of what we think is God and we can't even see our own hands in front of our faces because we've been blinded by our own lenses? Let me put it this way, and I know it's going to be a shocker. It might even rile you up just a little bit, but here's the fact. God cares more about the lost than he does who is serving as the president of the United States. Now, I have my pick. Do you have yours? I know who I voted. Do you know who you voted? Of course we do. But what am I doing to reach the lost that's going to go to hell for eternity without Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Lord? What am I doing about that? What am I doing about the real mission? You see, God never said, I came to save America. He said he came to save the lost. And I'm thankful for the country of which we live, and I'm a little concerned about the direction it's going. Matter of fact, it could actually destroy us as a country. We may lose our freedoms. I have guns. There it is. It's on the internet. They might come for them. What will I do? I don't know. Because I'm still a man, and I might get angry. I might become very defensive. But if that's all I care about, I'm missing the point. If that's my whole agenda for living, then I'm missing the mission. Because I'm not here to save America. I'm not here to save Montana. Those are government situations. What are we here for, church? We're here for the people. There are important issues in our culture, in our society, in our community, in our state, and in our country. And I hope that you're involved. I hope that you're having your voice. I hope that you are making your voice heard by getting involved with the voting and everything that comes along with it. But when it's all said and done, if that's all you do as a Christian, then you're missing the point completely, and you're off path, and you're actually in rebellion. We need to be looking to what God is doing. And if God says Joe Biden is your president, deal with it. So be it. I'm dealing with it. And I'm going to keep on mission. I know some of you are thinking it might get turned over and there might be this thing that happens and suddenly he's not there no more and we're like, woohoo, God still loves us. What is that? God loves you right now. He loves you right where you are. He loves you just as it is. That has not changed. Quit getting off track with this thing that's happening, and I think it's a phenomenon that's not a good thing. Let's recognize that our lenses have affected the way we see him. Maybe we need to find a different lens. Luke chapter 15. Now tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he first finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Oh, I don't like that. I mean, I do and I don't. I mean, in my spirit, I'm like, yes, God, yes, go, go, God. And then in my flesh, I'm like, but God, I'm important, right? I mean, you love me. Please? Yes, he loves you. He loves me. But he is more excited and joyful about one person saying yes to his name through the salvation experience than any song and worship service we can do and any preaching that has ever been done. He cares more about that one soul than the glorious praise we just gave him. Now, does that mean he doesn't appreciate your praise? No, he loves that. But the lost is even more important than that. Are we on mission? Are we seeing him with the right lens? Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 and verse 13 is a very similar understanding of that. It says, what do you think if a man has 100 sheep, if one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Now, that's great that we're here, we're worshiping, we're not wandering into the world, we're not getting steeped up into all these sins, but we are surely and truly following the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that is wonderful and that is great. And it's great to have church, it's great to have fellowship, and to have these opportunities to join together as a family. But what about that one? What about that one that he cares even more about than what we're doing right now? That blows my mind. That humbles me and actually makes me like, whoa. Whoa. What are we doing? My lens needs adjustments. Which brings us to the last point, a witness. What was the key? And I'll be able to get through this fairly quickly. I think I'll use the screen. What was the key? John the Baptist came as a witness to tell about the light who is Jesus. John chapter 1. And I'll go ahead and open my tablet to that just for reference purposes. John chapter 1 verse 8. He was not the light, meaning John was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. There's a really cool understanding here. There's two things being accomplished, and we've always kind of lumped them into one thing. Witnessing. But he's not just witnessing. John came as a witness to tell about the light. That kind of rings a little bell in my heart. Kind of sounds a little familiar to me. And it should. I'm going to jump ahead from what I have on my notes. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What does it say? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be what? You will be witnesses. What does that mean? It's the same thing as John. He came as a witness to tell about the light. You are a witness to tell about the light. What do you have in common? Well, that's really cool. Look at John chapter 1, verse 15. It says, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" John saw Jesus coming, his cousin, no less. And he declared, "He's the one. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." I mean, the Pharisees are sitting there. He just forgave someone's sins. No one but God can do that. Just so you know that I have the right to forgive sins, what's easier, to heal a man or to forgive his sins? So, well, just so you understand that I got the right and the power and the authority, what's your name? Yeah, get up and leave. Go home. The guy picks up his mat and walks out the door, and everybody's like, whoa. You would think, but you'd be wrong, that they would say, oh, wow, look, it's Jesus, the Messiah. It's Christ. He has come. But no, let's kill him. What's different? John sees him and knows immediately, this is the one. It's the Messiah. He's Christ, the King of kings, Lord of lords. He's the one that's going to take away the sins of the world. Well, the difference between John and them was John received the Holy Spirit while he was still in the womb of his mother. That's the difference. You know the story. I don't think I put it down as a reference. I was just going to speak of it. Elizabeth's pregnant. Kind of a secret thing. I mean, she is old. Mary shows up. I got to go see Elizabeth. Tell her what's going on. That I'm going to conceive the Messiah. So she goes to see her, and immediately the child within Elizabeth leaps within her as he comes into close proximity to the Christ, to the Messiah that's in the womb of Mary. And what happens? What's it say? And he was filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist was born with the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. That's never happened before. That's never happened before. Ever. Jesus himself is born into this world, the sinless one. He comes from a miracle virgin birth. By the way, Elizabeth being 90, that's a miracle birth too, right? But this is a really unique, special miracle birth. And of course, he is God and man at the same time. John the Baptist is man filled with the Spirit of God. And he ends up teaching and talking about the kingdom and telling us all we need to repent. And he had an understanding of things that were deeper than anybody else's understanding because his lens was different than your lens and my lens and the religious leaders' lenses and the lenses of all the community members. His lens was the Holy Spirit. And he looked and he saw Jesus walking towards him. He'd been with him 100 times already. And yet this was the day the Holy Spirit revealed it. You are looking at the Messiah. Now, did John know that beforehand? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe he just was like, today, God, can I say? Is this the time? Can I do it? Please. I've known since I was 2. Jesus, your Messiah, right? Can you imagine 2 little toddlers talking? I was talking to the Father today. Yeah, me too. 3-year-old singing, Jesus loves me. Oh, wait, that's a little bit too early. I can't imagine what that may have been like. I mean, he's got the Holy Spirit in him, giving him understanding and depth of knowledge. I'm speaking of John. And everybody knew it. It was a public thing. Everybody knew about John's call. Everybody knew about his father and all that he went through, that he was stricken dumb. He couldn't speak, and he finally had to write it out. His name is John. All of that stuff that was wrapped up in there. But John is here when Jesus comes, and it's the time that needed to be expressed and stated. And with his lens that was proper and true, his lens of the Holy Spirit said, this is the time. This is the one. Declare it. And he shouted it for all to hear and to see and to know. And all of his disciples were able to then turn to Jesus and say, can we follow you now? Many of them did. You and I have been given the lens of the Holy Spirit to see him for who he is. It comes through the born-again experience. But it also comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God to be a witness of Jesus Christ, to tell the world about the light Why? Because they're living in darkness. And they can't see it. But you can. Would you stand with me as we close? The Lord God Almighty, in some cases, will change us instantly. In some, it'll be more progressively in converting us to a place that we can see the pure vision of God. And we're becoming people that have our citizenship of heaven more than the citizenship of our upbringing. The more we walk and move in His Spirit, the more we are led by Him, the less those lenses of our past influence our vision. I want to encourage you, do not become blinded by the dark. It's a battle. Every day I got to pick up my cross, as Jesus told me I would. I need to die to my flesh and let those lenses of my past be removed from my eyes and my face. And I need to put on His lens. It may not be specifically in a literal sense that I need to get saved every day. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I need to see through His eyes. And I have to die to my flesh to do that. We all do. Lord God, thank You for the blessing it is to see clearly because of what Your Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts. I pray Your anointing to be upon this church, upon each and every individual, an anointing that allows each one to see clearly what You're doing, to truly understand who You are and how we can go forward together. Thank You for that. Help us to rise above our petty flesh desires. Help us to look beyond what we have always claimed as our heritage and see You truly and purely without hindrance. And I ask God Your anointing to be upon us all, that we all would receive that anointing to be witnesses, to truly be like John in this world, to see the way he saw. What an incredible gift it was for him, and what a gift it is for us. And I pray, Lord God, You will just give us that understanding, that strength to go forward in Your name. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.